Thanks for joining us every Saturday and Sunday for a new kind of radio, because life does not stop on the weekends. The big story of the week, of course, is the one that came to a climax last night in a backyard in Watertown, Massachusetts. That, of course, the series of actions that were set off by the Tsarnaev brothers when they bombed the Boston Marathon on Monday afternoon and led to a week-long manhunt. I was actually very impressed that it only took 102 hours from the beginning of the incident until the capture of the second brother last night, and then the press conference begun by Colonel Tim Alden of the Massachusetts State Police.
We are so grateful to be here right now. We're so grateful to bring justice and a closure to this case. To those families that lost loved ones or suffered injuries that they'll live with the rest of their lives. For a police officer, a young man starting a career at MIT, and a police officer with the MBTA who almost lost his life, and for neighborhoods that lived in fear for an entire day, we are eternally grateful for the outcome here tonight. We have a suspect in custody.
We have a suspect in custody. Great words to hear from Colonel Tim Alden of the Massachusetts State Police last night. And that suspect is Johar Tsarnaev, whose brother Tamerlan was killed by police the night before in a shootout involving some 200 or more rounds being exchanged between police and the suspects. What does all of this mean for the rest of us in America? Let's talk about that for a couple of minutes with Brigadier General Michael McDaniel, who used to be the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Homeland Defense Strategy and is now a professor at the Thomas Cooley School of Law. General, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be on your show.
What do you take away from this week in terms of our national, global, our national homeland security?
Well, I think there's a number of things that we will look at from a larger viewpoint as we reconsider perhaps U.S. counterterrorism strategy and policy in the wake of this event. Really, we haven't changed our strategy any since the events of September 11th, as it's evolved since that point in time. And I think perhaps depending upon the type of connection between these two brothers and terrorist groups in Chechnya and elsewhere, we will have a change in our policy. For example, if it is true that they were only influenced by terror groups in Chechnya, then we will go in one direction and we will consider whether we have to have a more aggressive approach to sort of finding those who would self-radicalize here in the United States. If, in fact, there is a direct connection, some training, support, encouragement from a terror group from that region or a close region to that, then I think we'll have to take a different direction and look even more closely, perhaps, at policy for visitors, those who would seek asylum in the United States, those who would travel from certain regions. I mean, certainly we focus on Middle East countries when we look at people entering the U.S., and perhaps we need to expand that focus. And then thirdly, there's still the possibility, because, again, we're speculating here, there's still the possibility that even though they're from a Chechen region, that they were just disaffected and it was not spurred by any ideology whatsoever.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that, you know, rather than being Chechen Muslim rebels who wanted to do harm to America, we instead had an Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold Columbine situation here with a follower and a leader, the leader being Tamerlan, the older, the 26-year-old, who was so disaffected by his life in America. He once complained that he had no American friends and couldn't get American citizenship because of a domestic violence rap against him through his wife. That could be all we're dealing with here, which is why how and, more importantly, why are very important questions to get answered, which is why it's so huge that they caught this guy last night instead of him dying, right?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, there are those who would say, well, it would be nice to just have closure to this. I think true closure means that we understand. Americans are not the type to just accept an attack on their country, whether it is by one of our own or somebody that we would consider an outsider. So in this case, I think that first there's this nationalistic sort of tendency to say, okay, which category does he belong to? And then at that point, sort of look at the motivations for that individual. And by the way, Paul, I think that your analogy to the Columbine is absolutely apt and correct, because that was intended to be, by those two individuals, that was intended to be a bombing. They placed a number of explosive devices around the school based on propane, and they couldn't get the timers right. So, again, the two kids in Columbine used a very unsophisticated, a very crude sort of explosive device. And then when that would fail to ignite adequately, they then turned to just making it sort of a active shooter scene.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Brigadier General Michael McDaniel, former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Homeland Defense Strategy and now professor at the Thomas Cooley School of Law. General, you mentioned in the first things that you said today was maybe we have to figure out a way to keep an eye on people like this when they come to this country, when they're given asylum. How could we effectively really monitor what people come here as legal immigrants, and one of the brothers eventually became a naturalized United States citizen? How can we know in a nation of more than 311 million people what individuals are doing in this regard?
That's a great point, Paul, because when you have individuals who self-radicalize, you know, we still struggle with this concept of the lone wolf terrorist. And the reason is because they have no support structure. There is no network. There is no possibility, therefore, for chatter, for movement among a number of individuals. You end up having, this is sort of like, you know, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. It is just a couple of individuals, one dominant individual with one supporter, and as a result, there is very little that you can grasp onto to say, how do we prevent this type of incident from occurring? So we have to first of all say, is our national calculus that U.S. Security equals no terrorist attacks whatsoever, zero terrorist attacks. Is that the right calculus? I mean, we certainly live with and accept acts of violence other than terrorist events every day. There is some act of violence that doesn't even make the news because we are accepting that in this nation. But this type of act of violence, which is based upon some social or political ideology, we're not willing to accept. So first of all, we perhaps have to rethink that calculus. Secondly is, if we still keep to this calculus and say we're going to try and accept and not accept, try and prevent lone wolf terrorists, then that requires, by definition, a much more intrusive government presence. It can certainly be done without violating First Amendment rights, but it will still be very intrusive. For example, every social media site and posting can be gleaned by, you know, the National Security Agency and similar agencies. You know, they can sort of do data mining across all U.S.-based and U.S. citizens' accounts. Do we really want them to be doing that, though? That's a debate that we have to have.
But even if they do that, let me interrupt you for a second, General, because they actually were, the FBI was asked by a foreign government 2 years ago to look into Tamerlan Tsarnaev because they wanted to know, does he have extremist ties? And apparently the FBI investigated him and answered, no, he doesn't.
Right. I've heard that, and I'd like to know the details of that. Again, it suggests a couple things, that maybe that Tamerlan self-radicalized after the fact. Secondly, that we have some tradecraft that we were not really sensitive to, that our intel agencies have to be paying a closer attention to. So there are a couple of possibilities there, but yeah, it is, you know, there are some very sophisticated ways in which they do this. I mean, the FBI is adding on to their laboratory a whole data mining, the ability to do data mining is one of the things that's being considered for the FBI to do. Certainly, we do that every day with private industry, you know, sort of looking for our favorites and making those suggestions, you know, to us based upon our web browsing habits. So yep. It's not that we're not already doing it. It's just that we're not doing it as a U.S. government against U.S. citizens and those who are legal residents of this country.
Yep. General, I appreciate your time and your expertise today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Paul. Great to hear from you.
Brigadier General Michael McDaniel, professor of the Thomas Cooley School of Law, former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Homeland Defense Strategy. I'm Paul Harris. You can reach us on Twitter and on Facebook, speaking of social media, and you can always email me, paul@americaweekend.com. From the Envision Radio Networks,